It is good every now and again to be reminded of who is the church. And I want us to turn to the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament, and chapter 16. And I'm going to read from the text. This will not be an exposition of the text. Dr. Patterson used to say, you can preach a topical sermon, but just be sure you repent of it after you do it. So I guess I will need to repent at the end of the service. But this will be more topical than an exposition. But I think, you know, and leading up to our arts camp, it's good to be reminded of who we are. It's good to be reminded anyway. But with what we have going on this month. So we're going to look at chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 13. We're going to read verses 13 through 19. And then we're going to look at one statement that Jesus makes within this text. Now, when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered Peter and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Today we have a problem. We have more than one problem, but we can all vouch for that, can't we? But today in our culture, we're really not sure who the church is. And I don't know. I haven't lived in other time periods, so I'm not sure that it could have been the same issue then in congregations years ago. But and so when you and I mention the word church, it opens up a melting pot of thoughts, of perceptions, of ideologies and examples. The term church is more times probably than not misunderstood in our culture as a whole. And sadly, at times it can be within the church itself. We have perceptions of identity. Some people think of the church in terms of a building or a location. You may be telling someone how to get here, and you tell them that you turn onto Colonial Road at right beside True Point Bank, and you go about 200 yards, and the church is on the right as you go down Colonial Road. Or you may refer to it as a time. You may say to your family something like this, that maybe I would come over for lunch, but I will come after church. I can't get there till after church, after a certain time. And we understand that time is noon, supposedly. Don't get hooked on that, hung up on that. It's just not right. And for him to know what is right and not do it, to him it is sin. So sometimes we look at it as a denomination. You may tell your friend who may be speechless that you're actually attending church now. Somebody you haven't seen in years, and they're like, "No, you?" And you tell them that you're going to a Baptist church, and a Southern Baptist church on top of that. Whew, it's getting worse. Or a style. There's phrases thrown around. Our church is contemporary. Our church is traditional. So we label these different styles. We can also do it with ethnicity. We belong to an African-American church. We belong to a Korean church, a Romanian church, and ethnicity. We could do that. Or it could be a person. You hear congregations referred to as so-and-so's church. First Baptist Church Atlanta is not Charles Stanley's church, folks. I'm just kidding. I picked on him. But that's the main one that you hear. It could be the pastor. It could be the patriarch, the grandfather of that church, or the matriarch, the grandmother of that church. We also refer to it as a duty. Who think this weekly duty would show up for an hour on Sunday morning and feel they've done their duty now and they can get on with the rest of their week because they've been to church. They've done their duty as church. There's also perceptions of purpose of church. Some look at the church with distrust and scorn and ridicule. They may say something like that, "I went there once and it was full of hypocrites, so I never went back." Let that one sink in as to that phraseology. Or "all they ever want's my money." Or "I was hurt or embarrassed at so-and-so's church, so I have no use for that stuff anymore." And of course, that could have been a legitimate statement that that person made. It also could be viewed as meaningless. Their thoughts go something like this: the church is for old people who have nothing better to do. It's for people who like choirs and the funny music, and that really does nothing for me, and the guy's messages are boring and irrelevant to my life. It's completely useless. It's interesting. Alistair Begg quoted this in one of his sermons years ago, and I wrote it down. I don't know who Rita Snowden is, but in her book entitled When We Walk, she wrote these words about visiting a small village worship service on a Sunday morning. And she said, "Hymn and psalm and prayer and the quiet murmuring voice of the vicar tended to take my thoughts out the window into the morning sunlight, over the fields and far away. The pity is it was all so harmless, so gentle, so proper, so benign." That's some people's view of church. And so we come to this time to help us kind of sort out the question, who or what is the church? And I know, again, last week I think I preached to the choir. This week I'm doing the same thing. But again, we need reminding, because it we're going to see at the end, this taints everything about how we live in this world as the church. And we'll continue on, Lord willing, with the next part of this next week, the second part. But who or what is the church? And we ask the question, is the church of human origin? And it's a good question to ask. It's a question that needs to be answered. Is it of human origin? We listen to people talk about the churches as and we could get from them that it's of a human invention or origin. And since many in our day have misunderstood the church, and I think we can actually say probably more in our day than in previous days in our culture. Because in years past, at least the church was the center of the community, at least the building, the structure, the campus of God's people was. And things centered around that. Whether you had anything to do with it or not, it's irrelevant to the fact that you still understood the church somewhat in its place and its people. But the rational idea in our culture is that the church is a group of people who have volunteered for a specific social or community need and have come together under some sort of commonality and said, "Hey, why don't we start meeting together on a regular basis and accomplish this task?" Kind of like the Lions Club or the Kiwanis or the Moose or other civic organizations. And maybe some people back in history were doing this, and some finally popped up and said, "Hey, why don't we become an institution? That sounds like a good idea. Let's institutionalize. We all like to sing, so let's get together and let's sing some songs. We all like to listen to some kind of message, so let's get us a good speaker. We all like to hang out, so let's plan some events and programs and social events and things of that nature. Kind of like saying, I like to hunt and fish. You like to hunt and fish. Let's start a sportsman's club. Or, I like to play baseball. You like to play baseball. Let's get us a team together. Let's make us a team. I like music. You like music, Bill. Let's form a band. And so with that direction in mind, those getting together to sing, to hear a sermon, and maybe study the Bible, spend time together, have now humanly established a church. It's done. No one knows where in the world it came from and what it's here for. It's just been here for a long time, and people have been doing it for a long time. A lot of people have been doing it for a long time, and it just seems like the right thing to do. My parents went to church. My grandparents went to church. I want my children to grow up going to church. No one really knows why my parents went to church. No one really knows why I want my children to go to church. But that's what I want to take place. So I guess that's what I need to do. But we have to ask the question, is this who we really are? And I think we need to be able to articulate the truth that, is this who we really are? To people who say these things in ignorance. And I didn't say stupidity. I said ignorance. There's a big difference between those two. Is this God's design for his people? Did it come from the mind of some brilliant religious anthropologist or religious social worker? So let's move to the second question. Is it of human origin? We have to answer that question by answering this question. Is the church of divine origin? The holy God, the God we just sang, holy, 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 thrice holy, 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 holy too. You don't have to read very far in the book of Acts, and let's turn to Acts chapter 2. I want to read some verses out of Acts chapter 2 to find out that the Bible speaks differently about the church than what culture would say. Was it Henry Van Til that said, religion is culture externalized? Think about that for a minute. That's a profound statement. Take this part out. that religion is culture externalized. Yes. So whatever the culture is doing, that becomes the religion of that culture. And so we in our culture have created the religion, the church, by our cultural thoughts, by what we perceive culturally it to be. But listen how God speaks about the church. The Bible makes it clear that the church is God's invention and intention. In Acts chapter 2, we read verses 1 through 4. We're just going to read some selective verses here. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, the disciples. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then we read on what that means as the Medes and those from Cappadocia and Pontus hear the word in their own language from Galileans. And then when we finish that, we go down to 14. It says, but Peter, standing with the 11, the other side, lifted his voice and he addressed them. So he begins to preach. Peter's first sermon, filled with the Holy Spirit, begins to preach. And then we get down to verse 41. It says, so those who received the word, that the message, the word of the gospel that Peter preached, were baptized, and thus there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. That sounds a whole lot different than getting together and saying, hey, we like to do this, we like to do that, or let's just get together and form an institution. Hey, there's a need out there. Let's form a group and let's meet this need, doesn't it? and listen to the rest of it. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing and the proceeds to all as anyone had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. That sounds a whole lot different than the cultural view of who the church is. And so we can't buy into it. See, it's been God's intention from eternity that he would have a people to call his very own. That's been God's intention from eternity. And it was the heart of God before he ever said the words, "Let there be light," before he ever spoke those to save a people from their sin. We can't fathom that. We can't fathom the eternalness of God. And this is the distinguishing mark between the church and all other community organizations who are doing a great job of doing what they're doing. The church is based on the call of God. So in our text passage today in Matthew, we read these words where Peter confessed and declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was asked, "Peter, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" Peter popped up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded by telling Peter that upon that truth, the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon the truth, that truth, the church is built. Upon that truth, upon the truth that Jesus is the Christ. What does it mean Jesus is the Christ? The one crucified, the one raised from the dead. Upon that truth, the church is built. And Jesus made it crystal clear to Peter and others today that therefore the church is from God. It's not of human origin. It's not of human invention or intentions. It's from God. All of God. Because what did he say to him? He said, "Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father who is in heaven revealed that to you." So even Peter's words about who Jesus is and who is Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, we're told. He is the groom of the church. That was not something that Peter came up with. That's not something that Peter's daddy taught him. That's not something that Peter learned in the synagogue as a young boy. That is something that God revealed to Peter at that time. And he reveals that to us now, even more fully through his word. John Stott wrote in his book, Basic Christianity, he said, "God has created, God has spoken, God has acted." I agree with Stott. It's God initiated. He is the initiator. What did he do? God sent his son. Did we ask for God to send his son? Did anyone ever say, "God, please send your son to rescue us, to save us"? Not a single human being has ever asked that question or made that statement to God. Ask God, "Would you please do that?" God has sent his own son at his own initiative to redeem mankind and what? To have a people for his very own. Some of the songs we sang today voice this out, that to save us. He created, he had spoken, he had acted. We're told in Revelation why? So that he could have a people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. We see that taking place. John saw it. He wrote it down for us in heaven. People who are called what? The church. The church. The people who would what? Worship him. The people who would love him. The people who would serve him here on earth. And he initiated and called them out. The word church, ekklesia, what does it mean? The called out ones. It's not that I decided that, hey, it would be good for me and my family to go to church. That's not who the church is. I may attend, I may say that, and attend a service like this on Sunday mornings with my family, but if that's my thought, I am not the church. I am not part of these people who belong to God. I'm just attending a service on Sunday mornings. And that's not a bad thing. But I'm not the church. The church are the called out ones. The ones who have been called out of this world. Our memory verse for this week, well, we have two memory verses, this, don't we? We have Matthew and we have 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. And he tells us to be holy. Why? Because I am holy. Holy is means the word holy means separated. We learned that in our study today, in the doctrinal part of the study today, is that there's two aspects to the holiness of God. One is the separateness of God from all other creation. The other is the purity, the uniqueness, and the purity, holiness of the sinlessness of God. Holy. And so we're called out, that the church, the ecclesia, is called out from an unholy world, an ungodly world, into the holiness of Christ, of God in Christ. And so we're called out. So it's not just the fact that I decide that going to church is good for me and my family. Though it may be, because you get to hear the word of God when you come. But that's not who the church is. Church are those who have been called out, quite different from an origin of human origin design, isn't it? Which would actually never happen, because if you really think about it, we don't really, when in our lost estate, we might say we want God, but we want a God that we form and create and fashion. We really don't want the God of the Bible, because he's holy, because of his holiness, because of our unholiness. I don't want anything to do with him. Because he is holy. So the truth be known, no man would ever even establish the church. Even if we could, we wouldn't even want to. Because we'd want to be as far away from God as we could. The holiness of God. You studied that today. When they looked upon the ark. And the translation could be they looked in it. You could say they looked in it or upon it. And they weren't supposed to do that. And it, what? Consumed them. We would never seek the true living God without first being sought out by him. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Think about that. Those who were formerly, the Bible uses these terminologies for those of us, those of us when we were apart from Christ, and those are who are still apart from Christ. But listen, those who were formerly alienated, and we read in Ephesians, are now what? Now fellow citizens, called out of alienation into citizenship. Those who were dead in their sins are now what? Made alive in Christ. So those who were dead in trespasses and sins have been called out. Now to what? Newness of life. Those who were in darkness have now been called out what? Into his, Peter says, marvelous light. Into his marvelous light. Those who were blasphemers of his holy name, we sang songs about praising God and praise what? Those of us who used to use our tongue to blaspheme God now speak praises of God and to God. Those who were disobedient to his word, now we've been called out to walk in obedience to his word. See, a people who were so messed up and sinful that we could not even humanly institute a church. We were too big of a mess to do it. But now we're rather a people who have been and are and have been divinely instituted by God. And there we go. Why is this important? If we understand anything of the church, we have to first understand that it is the churches of God's origin, God's initiation, God's design. To even understand why in the world we get together, why in the world we are who we are, why in the world we have been brought out of darkness into light and left here on earth until he takes us home. And knowing and surrendering to this truth affects all that we are and all that we do as a grace family. It affects it greatly. If I begin with the wrong premise, then I misunderstand everything else. And so, let me give you a couple of thoughts here in closing. As you read that, to asking God to renew a right belief, if you're holding on, or maybe have wrong beliefs have crept in, and to go over the doctrine of the church would take us many years of messages to do and teaching to do. But maybe God's revealed to you that maybe I have looked at it as a building. And I know I understand how hard it is to break those habits. I still do it today. Come on, kids, let's get ready and go to church. I probably said it this morning. And I try to correct myself because it's just so ingrained, the 54 years of saying things like that. It's so ingrained. And you say, it was just words. No, it is. But it also, words convey thoughts and beliefs and misunderstandings. So I know how hard it is to change. You know, if you've been sitting here thinking, well, I've referred to the church as a building for this week, I understand that. But it may be the point where we ask God, help me to change the way I say that for my own understanding, but also for the people I'm talking to, so they have an understanding of the church. So I don't give them a misunderstanding that the church is a building. That they understand from me that the church is God's people, the called out ones, the ones who've been saved by the blood of Christ, the ones who will be raptured unto life when Jesus returns. Or maybe you viewed it as a time or those sorts of things. So ask God to renew that, a fresh understanding and belief of the church. Let me give you some questions to ponder. In this area, currently, maybe what's going on with you in your life about viewing the church. And these are just three basic areas to think about. When you come in here on Sunday morning, I'm going to use Sunday morning. I know this is not church, but this is when we're gathered in the largest group at the largest time. So let me use that. So when you come in here on Sunday mornings and look around, what do you see? Now, what do you really see? And I know we all wrestle with this. What do we see? What do you see? When you look around and you see the people, what do you see? When you look at our 2019 ministry budget, what do you see when you see those numbers, those dollar figures and numbers? What do you see? What do you think about when you see those? When you look at our 2019 ministry calendar, what do you think about and consider? To see, when you look at the people here and you look at the budget, when you consider the calendar and those are just three simple basic things. How do you process that in the process of the church and your understanding of the church? Because see, the danger is we process that the same way we would process if I went to a Lions Club meeting and I sat down with people and we talked about the budget, we talked about what we're going to do. Or the Kiwanis Club with glasses or something of that nature. And we've got BGR going on right now in our Grace Connection groups. Do I look at that the same way I would go and sit down in the Kiwanis Club or the Optimist Club, and I would sit down in the Optimist Club and talk about the glasses or something of that nature that we're going to send to children in the world. And I look at the budget and then they hand out the financial statement. Do I look at the church, those things, the same exact way I would look at those community events? And that's what I want us to begin to process, because God has called us to live holy life, to let our conduct be holy, as our memory verse says. And why? Because He is holy. To walk in that, in a conduct, in a different way. So when I look at the church budget, what do I see? Do I see dollars and think, wow, we're going to make it this year or not? Or do I see this as, Lord, This is a means by which you're providing for us to make your name, your great name known in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world. When I see the people here, is it just people I like to be with? Yeah, they're nice folks. They're pretty much like me. I mean, you know, we're all pretty similar in many ways. Or do I see God's people? When I look at the ministry calendar, do I just see, yeah, that's another good event. Plum Alley Day, that was good. Yeah, that was good. We had sunshine this year. Yay, that was good. We had out some water, made some you know, that was good. It was good to be out in the community. Good to do that. Or do I see it as, Lord, that could be the connection you were using to connect people to your gospel through us. So who or what's the church? That's a big question for me to answer. It's a big question for me to consider. And I'm looking at all the aspects of everything. So ask God to renew within you a right belief of who the church is and where the church came from, and why the church is here. Why we are here. Who are we and why are we here? Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us to consider the words of Matthew that Peter spoke and that Jesus spoke back to him, that you are the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of God. And Lord, to consider that declaration when Jesus said, upon this I will build my church. God, I pray that you would change our hearts. If our hearts have been cold, if our hearts have become cold or indifferent or swayed by cultural thoughts of church, Lord, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, by your word, would bring us back into right beliefs, a right understanding, and a right love for the church. A right understanding of who we are and what you've called us to do, who you've called us to be holy because you are holy. And live in holiness in this very unholy world. And Lord, we just pray that you would have your way in this time of response, as we seek you and ask you to cleanse us, to forgive us, to restore us, to strengthen us, to set our feet back on solid ground. Lord, to take our gaze and move it straight ahead from the left or the right, which we've been looking lately. So Lord, we just ask you to do in us what needs to be done to make us holy and to make us walk in your holiness, especially in regards to your church. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.